help us to prepare for this time. Next surah was Surah Luqman, a beautiful surah. It was told that the people who buy entertainment do not find fun in Quran. And then the qualities of a Muhsin was told also here. The one who does ihsan with parents, relatives, needy, poor, stay away from sins, worship Allah with sincerity and khushu, as if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching them. Subhanallah, what a feeling it can be. You know, if we are aware of that someone is watching us, how conscious we are in doing any kind of action. Even if, like, forget about anything else, if we are cooking something, and if somebody is and they're watching us cook, and we just kind of get conscious, you know, like, so just imagine if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching while we are praying, while we are worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Himself is watching us. We're living in Akhirah. We learned the golden rules of parenting told by Luqman to his kids. Since it's just a brief recap of the juz, so we cannot discuss in detail, but inshallah wa ta'ala, when you will join in depth study of Quran, then you will learn all these gems, inshallah wa ta'ala. We were warned about the day when no son will be able to help his father and no father will be able to help his son. So, time now. See every surah. You've seen how many times it has been discussed. It's not at all. Warning. We caught that concept of glad tidings. It's the time to make wrong. Or it will go up or it will go down. In the dunya, I mean, and Allah will forgive. Had an absolute belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they were reminded of them, they used to fall down in prostration. They used to glorify the praises of their Lord, and they were not at all arrogant. Their sides forsake their beds, so they could invoke their Lord in fear and hope. They never shy away from spending in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's cause from the blessings they were bestowed. And no one knows what reward Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has hidden for them for whatever they used to do. Subhanallah, two different attitudes and two completely different end results, one with torment of the hellfire and the other with the luxurious Jannatul Ma'wa. Dear sisters, time to decide. Time to wake up. It is not a rocket science. We cannot figure it out. Nothing can be clearer than this. We have to use our time wisely. We will pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to include us among the second group and guide us to the deeds done by them, inshallah wa ta'ala. We also learn that trials are bound to come to differentiate between believers and munafiqs in Surah Al-Ahzab. We will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help and guidance to be among believers only, inshallah wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent prophets, Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will follow his sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sunnah and will prepare for our akhirah as a muhsin, inshallah wa ta'ala. Because we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's promises are true. So in order to learn more of how we can be an obedient slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how can we follow the sunnah of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we will join Sister Faiza in Atlanta, Georgia in our journey through Quran in just 20 seconds, inshallah wa ta'ala. Stay focused. A reminder for myself too, inshallah wa ta'ala, we will take notes. We will ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our guidance, inshallah wa ta'ala, for our islah, and for the hikmah to absorb the knowledge and to, inshallah wa ta'ala, implement in our lives. Jazakumullah khairan kaseera wa asim deza. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us to start just 22 today. Just 22 has a different feeling and it will be very different from yesterday. From the just 21, as Sister Rifat said, that the main majority of the topic was around Qiyamah. The dominant topic, as you can say, it was the Qiyamah, the preparation of the Day of Judgment. And the heart felt like, you know, this time is running really out and we really have to move forward with our lives. Today, you will feel that it has a different impact on you. I'm not going to tell you right now what is the main focus today, but I want you to really take today's juz as a command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Do you know why? Because we will learn some things in today's juz that may or may not be liked by the desires and the thoughts that we have, the lifestyle that can it can agree with the lifestyle that we have. And when we try to fight this lifestyle with the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, problems happen. Today, when ayahs come about the life of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the wives of Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, take them the way it is. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't want to change the religion because of my own desires. Give me ability to take the commands of Allah the way they are meant to be taken. And don't make me think that, no, it is not possible for me or it is too much for me. It may be or it may not be. It all depends. But this does not mean the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are not there. This does not mean that I can dilute these commands and make them disappear in my life. As we the desires is the hardest thing to let go. Desires are something that people love to worship and follow. And today, this is the test we will go through while learning these ayahs of Surah Al-Ahzab and the rest of the Juz. So with that mindset, let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh Allah, make it possible for me to really grasp this Quran and enter this Quran in my heart, inshallah. Let's listen to the recitations of the first few ayahs and let's begin our journey. We have a long lesson. Let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put barakah in our time also. Let's begin.
وَمَنْ يَقْنُتْ مِنْكُنَّ لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَتَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا نُؤْتِهَا أَجْرَهَا مَرَّتَيْنِ وَأَعْتَدْنَا لَهَا رِزْقًا كَرِيمًا يَا نِسَاءَ النَّبِيِّ لَسْتُنَّ كَأَحَدٍ مِّنَ النِّسَاءِ إن اتقيتن فلا تخضعن بالقول فيطمع الذي في قلبه مرض وقلن قولا معروفا.
نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. أما بعده فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ربنا زدنا علما اللهم فقهنا في الدين. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Juz 22. Amazing juz is in front of us. The theme for today's juz is Zikr elevates your status. Today we will learn the ayah in Surah Al-Ahzab, the importance of zikr. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu, uzkurullaha zikran kathira. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to you and I, the believers. Do zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How much zikr we should be doing? Zikran kathira, a lot of zikr. And you know what? When this ayah comes true in our lives, then the rest of the Quran becomes easy. Then a person's inside doesn't fight with him that, you know what, I'm not ready for this and I'm not ready for that. When the zikr of Allah becomes a part of the life, the part of the tongue, the life becomes easy. The heart becomes filled with the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The tawheed enters the heart. And when tawheed enters the heart, the fear and the realization of the qiyamah enters the heart. When the realization of the qiyamah becomes on the yaqeen level, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really makes the qiyamah the focus of the heart and the focus of the life, then all the commands looks fun for us. And then they become so much easier. And then you don't say, oh, I'm not going to do that. Then you don't try to restrict your life to your liking. Then your heart opens up because of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because of the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this is why in the next slide you the most common zikr, the most easy zikr that we all already are aware of, and that is Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, Subhanallahil Azim. Glory to be Allah, and all praise is due to Him. Glory to be Allah the Great. These two phrases are very small, very easy. Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu narrated that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, there are and are dear to the merciful, meaning Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves two statements. We're saying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above and far beyond of everything, and all praise is due to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Such a simple statement, such a simple phrase. But you know what? When this phrase comes from the bottom of the heart, Allah loves that slave. And every time when a person glorifies Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala without any need. See, the difference here is that when you do dua, even though dua is part of the ibadah, dua is ibadah, ad-du'a huwal ibadah. But when you do dua, you have something in return that you're asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That, oh Allah, I want this and I want that. But when you do only dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, glorification of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that, oh Allah, you are above and beyond, you are greatest and you are almighty and you are al-akbar, you are subhanallah, you are alhamdulillah, you are allahu akbar and all other adhkar that we know. You are saying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, I don't even need anything from you because you are amazing, you are too much, you are everything for me. And when the person has this mindset, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes things easy for him. If you go to the next slide, you see these are the easy zikr. The first one is the one we just learned. And what is the benefit of this zikr? Subhanallah wa bihamdihi. What we learn from a hadith is when a person says this, that all subhanallah, alhamdulillah, subhanallah wa alhamdulillahi, or subhanallah, or anything like that, a tree will be planted for you in paradise. Go ahead, become a gardener. start planting tree now. The more trees you have, the more beautiful your house in Jannah will be. Because you know why? The land we're given there is empty. It is up to us. What kind of landscaping do we want? We want lush green, tropical look, or we want barren, desert look, or we want something in between. Do we like tall trees, or do we like short trees? Or do we like trees that are evergreen, or do we like trees that every summer and winter they grow and they go away? It is up to us. So every time you say Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, you are planting a tree. So now let's make dua that we are able to plant as many trees as possible. And what are the other rewards for this is? Another hadith, we learn that every time a person says this 100 times a day, his or her sins will be forgiven. Can you imagine? You don't even have to ask dua for forgiveness of the sin, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you anyway. Allah loves these kalima, and this is in Bukhari. So what do we learn? Let's make dua that our tongue stays moist with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, another way of doing the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all day long. Now, how is it possible? I'll tell you in a minute. But first, listen to this. In Bukhari, Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I am just as my slave thinks I am. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is according to what you and I think of him. That is, I am able to do for him and what he thinks I can do for him. Question, do we really think that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to do anything and everything for me? If we do, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I will be for you like that. And I am with him if he remembers me. If he remembers me in himself, I too remember him in myself. Meaning, if we remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone time, in tahajjud time, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will remember us within himself. And if he remembers me in a group of people, I remember him in a group of, that is better than that. Meaning, if we take Allah's name in a company of other people, like we are doing it right now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala currently, as we speak, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is mentioning us in a company of angels. Alhamdulillah. And if he comes one span nearer to me, I go one cubit nearer to him. Can you imagine? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala only wants little stuff from us. Little steps taken, then the rest of the stuff, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy. And today, we will understand the meaning of this, because if we make intentions to follow today's juz and take the commands upon ourselves, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it super easy for us. All we have to do is just want it. And if he comes one cubit nearer to me, I go a distance of two outstretched arms nearer to him. Can you imagine? Allah loves us. And if he comes to me walking, I go to him running. And this is in Sahih Bukhari. So what do we learn here? Do zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only last 10 nights of Ramadan are here, almost here. And you know what? If we can keep our tongue busy and bring a habit in ourselves to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time, and let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us continue this habit throughout our lives until our last breath. And now the question comes in mind. You know what? How can we do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and what is possible ways to do it? There are three different ways you can do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number one is dhikr bil lisan, by your tongue, that we just learned. It could be any zikr. It could be saying, MashaAllah, SubhanAllah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, or any zikr that you may like, right? And then another way of doing zikr is zikr bil, after zikr bil lisan, meaning by from tongue, then you see zikr bil heart, zikr bil qalb, meaning do zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in your heart. How do you do that? This means to be conscious of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. This means to have taqwa, because taqwa is the conscious mindset that you and I can help develop in ourselves, in which mindset you are aware of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Even if you're not using your tongue, even if you're not really busy doing zikr through proper channel like we're doing now, but your heart is there. Your heart is content. Your heart is filled with the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And your heart is not in a state of despair, not even for a single second. This is zikr of heart. Let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Make it possible for our hearts to be attached to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala 24/7. Now, do you think it's hard to do? You know, it's not hard for those who actually wants it. This is why if we have intention, we can go through that. And the last and the third kind of zikr is zikr bil jawahi. How do you do that? By action, by showing physically, by getting involved, by doing something that shows your action, like salah is a zikr. Right? Like all the things that actually reminds you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Physically, that's a zikr bil jawari. Your heart should be grateful. This is also zikr. If you only say alhamdulillah for all the blessings, this is a zikr. And the zikr that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala likes, right? So what do we understand here? We learn here that zikr of Allah is the only way we can truly connect to ourselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know why? Because once we have this connection built up, once we see all four bars, you know when you're on your cell phone, when the connection is weak, the four bars that you see in the top right corner, they disappear. Sometimes there's only one bar, two bar, three bar, and four bar. And when the four bars are there, you say connection is very good. Now the internet is not going to drop. So think of yourself. When you do zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, your bars are fully all four bars. That means your heart is truly connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That means that dunya will become easy. That means your heart that is attached to this dunya will lessen. You know why? Because now the dominant connection is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, let's go to the next slide. And we learn here the connection between the Juz 21 and Juz 22 themes. Meaning, when we keep our tongues moist with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it will develop love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, it will make qiyamul layl, that the hajjul salah, the talking to Allah, easy. Because that's what our goal is, right? To become Allah's in this dunya. So Allah is ours in that dunya. It's the way we treat ourselves in this dunya. It's exactly how we will be treated by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in that dunya. If we want to go to Allah in this dunya, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be happy to take us in His Jannah. If we make Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's connection, a weaker connection with only one bar, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will do the same thing to us in a year after. If we say, I'm going to count, I'm going to say how many times zikr and I'm done. For example, I'm going to say astaghfirullah 100 times or zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala like subhanallah 100 times or la ilaha illallah 100 times and I'm done. Well, guess what? Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will be counting too. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to say, you counted 100 times, I will give you 100 times reward or more. But that's it. So if you count your zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unlimited time, then expect unlimited rewards as well. In other words, in the hadith that we just learned earlier, whatever we expect of Allah, exactly what we get from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. With that in mind, let's go to the juz. Review points, what we're going to learn in this juz 22. In the next slide, we learn that we have four surahs to cover today. Surah Ahzab, which is continuing from the last surah, and then Surah Saba will come, and then Surah Fatir, and then Surah Yasin, some portion of it. Some of the main topics that we will cover today are mothers of the believers are role models. And let's make dua that they become our true role models and passing of the message of Islam, pass on this message, right? And then rulings of adopted son and remove any un-Islamic tradition that we may have and etiquettes of invites. When somebody invites you, what should you do? And should you accept the invitation or is it your choice to accept it or not? We will learn that. And we'll learn extensively about the wives of the prophets, meaning mothers of the believer. And we will learn about the attire of a believing woman and why battles took place. And the Battle of Trench, we will learn some of that, inshallah. Now, if you go to the next slide, the today's ayahs. Today's the first topic comes is that ayah number 28 to 34, we will learn our laws of hijab are punishment or they are for our own betterment. Let's get to the ayahs. And before I, even though juz starts from ayah number 31, but we will start from 28 because yesterday we stopped at 27. So let's go to the ayah number 28 today. Ya ayyuhan nabiyyu, qul li azwajika in kuntunna تردنا الحياة الدنيا وزينتها فتعالينا أمتعكنا وأسرحكنا سراحا جميلا. O Prophet, say to your wives, if you should desire the worldly life and its adornment, then come, I will provide for you and give you a gracious release. What do we learn in this ayah? Prophet's wives, they were the wives of Prophet. They had a higher status. What do we learn for ourselves? We as a believing woman, we have a higher status. And you know what? When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides a higher status to something, it comes with higher responsibility. For example, a janitor who works for the some company, his job is to just clean only. Nobody's going to come and ask him and hold him accountable for the losses of the company, for the finances of the company, for the business management, for the marketing of the company, for the quality of the product. They're not going to ask the janitor. All janitor is responsible for cleaning that building. Similarly, when the job is given as an employee whose job is to do programming, the programmer will not be asked about other aspects of the company like finances and other things. Similarly, when a person is given a position of a manager, he is responsible for the employees that are under him. Even though he's responsible for the employees that are under him, but he's not responsible for another department in the same company, right? But if the person is made a manager, instead of manager, he's made the CEO or the president of the company, now he has a bigger responsibility. Now he has accountability to all the people who works under him, all the department that comes under him, all the employees that comes under him. And if anything goes in any department, for example, if something goes wrong in a marketing department, guess who's answerable to the public? The CEO of the company, right? And if anything goes in a finance department, still he is responsible. If anything goes in any other department, still he is responsible. So here we learn the mothers of the believers were the top position in Islam, right? The highest position in Islam when it comes to believing women. So we have to look at them and whatever they do, it is the highest level. So this is why when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives somebody a higher level, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them with a higher responsibility as well. So here we can learn for ourselves, consider yourself special. Because you are a believing woman. You are a role model. Everybody else is looking at you. This is why when we will be learning these ayahs, think of them. If you decided not to really follow these ayahs, well, guess what? You are the role model. That means you are justifying other people. What I am doing is the right thing to do. So in this case, when they were, Prophet ﷺ said, if you should desire the worldly life and its adornment, meaning it's up to you, O wives, if you want this dunya, you will get that. Then come, I will provide for you and give you a gracious release, meaning I will let you go. Think about it. Such a great, sentence Prophet ﷺ said. If you want this dunya, then I will let you go from my haram. Meaning, as a believing woman also, if we want this dunya only, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will replace us from somebody else. Do we want that? We don't want that. But if you should desire Allah and His Messenger and the home of the hereafter, indeed, Allah is prepared for the doers of the good among you a great reward. Meaning, if you make Allah as your priority, if you make Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as your priority, then Allah has something better for you. Allah has something higher for you, which is not given to other people. Meaning, the choice is ours. Whether we take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His command, the top priority of my life, make them a love of my life, make Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the love of my life, if we have this priority, then everything should be easy. And then indeed, Allah has prepared for the doers of the good, lil muhsinat. This is the title of the people who do good and who actually take Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the Prophet as their priority. And before them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, I have a great reward. O wives of the Prophet, whoever of you should commit a clear immorality, for her, the punishment would be doubled twofold, and ever is that for Allah easy. You know why the punishment for the mothers of the believer was doubled? Because as I said, everybody is looking at them, everybody is watching them, and all the eyes are on him. Just like there's a company and the CEO, when he actually creates a culture of the company that drinking is allowed, everybody will drink him. But you know what? He'll get the double the reward, double the punishment. You know why? Because he's the one who created that culture. So this is why they were given this double punishment warning, because now everybody has to follow them. So, and whoever of you, وَمَنْ يَقْنُطْ مِنْكُنَّ لِلَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ وَتَعْمَلْ صَالِحًا نُؤْتِيهَا أَجْرَهَا مَرَّتَيْنِ وَآتَتِنَا لَهَا رِزْقٌ كَرِيمًا. And whoever of you devoutly obeys Allah and His Messenger and does righteousness, we will give her her reward twice. Not just the punishment is double, but the reward is double too. If a normal person would give one date as a in a charity, they will get reward for a certain level. But when a person who is responsible and who is in a higher eyes, and he will be rewarded double the toys, double the amount. So, meaning, the higher status require more seriousness in life. And we have prepared for her a noble provision. O wives of prophets, you are not like anyone among women. If you fear Allah, then do not be soft in speech. This is the first command that is coming in this juz. What is it? Do not be soft in speech to men, lest he in whose heart is diseased should covet, but speak with appropriate speech. Very first ruling is that when a woman, believing woman, talk to men, opposite gender, leave your tone of voice in such that it is not too friendly, it is not too soft. You know why? Because when woman itself, it's just beautiful. Everything about woman is beautiful. And for a man, the biggest fitna is woman. It doesn't matter what age, it doesn't matter what size, it doesn't matter what color. Woman is woman. So this is why, being a woman, you should know that women should be speaking to a non-Muslim, sorry, non-mahram in a proper way. Meaning, it is not like some non-mahram you're talking, oh, he's my cousin, or he's my brother's friend, or they're my husband's friend. It's okay. Oh, you know, how are you doing? So how was the day? So what did you do? All these extra talks should not be in a tone of voice that can be attractive. Because even if a woman is talking to a man, it is attractive enough. So this is why, from now on, when we need to run our errands, when we need to do businesses, when we are talking to non-mahram in public places, be firm, be straight. And you can talk to your family nicely, but if they are non-mahram, then keep your tone of voice firm, inshallah. And abide in your houses and do not display. The second command, abide in your houses. What does that mean? Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created a proper place for everything. Everything looks good in its own place. For a man, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the world because they need to go out there and they have to earn money and they have to earn living and they have to provide for their family. For a woman, the proper place is the house. Does that mean that they can be confined in the house like a jail? No, of course, everybody can go out for a reason. Women can go out too. They can go out to doctor. They can go out to visit the family. They can go out to see the parents. They can go out to seek knowledge. They can go out to see anything that is required. But the proper place of the woman is home. And you know why? Because When women forget this purpose that they're supposed to be the homemaker, meaning the home sweet home is because of the woman. Imagine the house then when there is no woman in there, only a bunch of men lives there. Have you ever got to visit to this dorm type place where the boys live there? You may be your sons or maybe your husband, maybe brothers. It's a mess because it's a woman who makes the house into home. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, your job is to make the home beautify and make the home a place of the skin, sakina, tranquility. So spend your time in home unless otherwise it is something that needed to be going out for. So when women hear that, they don't like it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made the society for a reason. It's like this. You know, if you bought a new sofa, and the sofa belongs where? A living room, a family room, right? But you decided, no. I'm going to put my bedroom in a living room area, and I'm going to put the living room in a bedroom area. Do you think it's a wise decision to do? No. Sofa belongs in a living room. Bed belongs in a bedroom. Similarly, men belongs in a workforce, and women belongs in the house. What's the question about it? Why people get so upset about it? And then next hukum is wala tabarrajna tabarruj al-jahiliyyah al-ula. Do not display yourself as the display of the former times of the ignorance. What do we learn here? Tabarraj. Tabarruj comes from burj. Baraji meaning something that is above and visible. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, do not show off yourself. Do not make yourself visible as the woman of the jahiliyyah. In the pre-Islamic era, women used to show off. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, now that you have Islam, now that you are special, now that you're given a special status, don't show off yourself as the woman of jahiliyyah. Today, when people deny this ayah, what are they doing? They are actually following the time of the jahiliyyah. So what we learn here is that they were told that a Muslim woman should be standing out by differently dressing up. So others know that, oh, look at the believing woman. And they would know that they're not supposed to mess around with that woman. They would know that they're not supposed to flirt around that woman. They would know that we're not supposed to treat that girl, that she's very easy to get to. Today, if all believing women understand this concept that they need to be distinct, they need to appear different, and obviously, automatically, men will stay away. Because, you know, men are very smart too. They know which woman is easy to take, which woman is easy to get, and which woman will slip very easy. But a believing woman with a strong heart and iman, it's strong enough to keep themselves at distance. Have you ever heard something like that? You know what? This woman, and she was sitting in a company, and when they were, her friend was sitting with her, and she was all covered, and automatically her other friends stay quieter. They don't talk useless because they know now this girl is sitting and she's going to say something. So this is the level of respect comes when a believing woman do not show themselves off in a display like a public property, like a moon. Everybody can see the moon, right? It's far away. It looks pretty, but everybody enjoys it. So believing women to be meant to be enjoyed by their own mahram and husband only. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and establish prayer and give zakah and obey Allah and His Messenger. Allah intends only to remove from you the impurity of sins, O people of the Prophet's household, and to purify you with extensive purification. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants women to stay different. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants for you and I, وَيُطَهِرُكُمْ تَطْهِيرًا, extensive purification. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to be pure, stay away from all the filth of this world. And remember what is recited in your houses of the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and wisdom. Indeed, Allah is ever subtle and aware. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving the next command, and that is, Wazkurna ma yutla fi buyutikunna min ayati Allahi wal hikmah. Meaning, remember Allah, what is recited in your houses, meaning this Quran of the verses of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and wisdom, or meaning the Sunnah of Rasulullah. Indeed, Allah is ever subtle and aware. This is what is required, that woman, if the woman is educating herself, guess what? She's going to raise the society that is also educated, because the child's first home is his mother, And from the Ummah is formed. From the Ummah, the nation is formed. This is why women are supposed to know their position in Islam, that they're supposed to be educated in worldly education as well as religious education, so they can raise the Ummah well aware of. Indeed, the Muslim Ummah, from this section, what we learn here, the believing women are also role model, you and I, and Prophet's wives hold higher status, and average women live average lifestyle, a special woman lives above average lifestyle. And keep your tone of voice firm while talking to non-mahram. Allah wants to purify with extensive purification, and women can leave the house for proper reason, with proper attire. No fragrance, no sounding jewelry, no attractive inviting clothing, and know the reason for the hijab, so you can be distinguished, so you can stay pure. That is the reason. Now, let's go to the next paragraph, ayah number 35 to 40, ideal society. What Allah SWT is saying in this? If there's a list of good people, list, and the qualities are listed, I want you to write down these qualities for yourself and for ourselves, so we can really make the art of Allah SWT, that Allah SWT bestows these qualities in us. What are these qualities? Inna al-Muslimina wal-Muslimati wal-Mu'minina wal-Mu'minati wal-Qanitina wal-Qanitati wal-Sadiqina wal-Sadiqati wal-Sabirina wal-Sabiran. Indeed, the Muslim men and Muslim women, notice here, Allah SWT is addressing both. Muslim men and Muslim women, the believing men and believing women, the obedient men and the obedient women, the truthful men, the truthful women, the patient men and the patient women, the humble men and the humble women, the charitable men and the charitable women, the fasting men and the fasting women, the men who guard their private parts and the women who do so, and the men who remember Allah often, and the women who do so. For them is for them Allah has prepared forgiveness and a great reward. May Allah instill all these qualities in all of us, not just us, but our family members, men, women, and children. Imagine if these qualities are really there in us, that society will become an ideal society, because everybody will be doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants them to do, and that is being truthful, being humble, being soft, being fasting, being charitable, and being the one who do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kathira. Do dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in abundance. And imagine if Allah's dhikr is done in abundance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will provide us all the goodness of this world. That means the society that we live in, it will become the best of the society. And then Islam and the women and the men of Islam, believing women and believing men, will become the role models for the whole world. Let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala truly make us understand these ayahs. And then, it is not for a believing man or a believing woman when Allah and His Messenger have decided a matter that they should thereafter have any choice but their affairs, and whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger has certainly strayed into clear error. What do we learn here? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the decisions, and then there is no choice in the affair that we can follow or not. It is done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And remember, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when you said to the one of the to one on whom Allah bestowed favor and you bestowed favor, keep your wife and fear Allah while you conceal within yourself that which Allah is to disclose, and you fear the people while Allah has more right and that fear that you fear him. So when Zayd has no longer any need for her, we married her to you in order that there not be upon the believers any discomfort. That is guilt. Concerning the wives of their claim that is adopted sons, when they no longer have need of them, and ever is the command that is decree of Allah accomplished. This ayah number 37 was revealed for Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam because there was a tradition in Arab that the adopted sons were considered the real sons. Now imagine if the adopted sons were considered real son and the wife of the adopted son becomes your daughter-in-law. That means that is something, someone that is comes under the mahram. That means you cannot marry that person, right? But Islam came and Islam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, no, real sons are only real sons. Adopted sons are not real. In other words, adopted sons are also someone that you should be doing hijab with. And in this case, Zayd and Zainab, Zayd was a slave of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was given to him by Khadija radiyallahu anha when Islam was not even there, meaning Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not receive the prophecy. Zayd used to live with him. This was the tradition that slaves were used to be given to each other as a gift. Like today, if you can imagine, if you're giving the blender to a person who's getting married. So Zayd was a physical slave that was given to do the house chores and work for to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he was living with him all this time. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was very kind to him, but he was a slave, right? So Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, you know what? I don't want to call you a slave. I want you to treat me. I want you to be my son, like my son. So he actually used to call him as his son. And then when the time came to get married, Zayd got married to Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's cousin, first cousin, his father's sister's daughter, right? So her name was Zainab, and she was married to Zayd. Zainab belonged to high status family, and Zayd was, of course, obviously he was a slave before. Even though they both were very good people, there was nothing wrong on both sides. Zayd was an excellent person and Zainab was an excellent woman. But somehow this marriage did not work out. What do we learn here? It is possible when the divorce happened, because of whatever reason, it is possible that there is no fault in each side. Some people today, when divorce happened, they try to put blame on either side. The guy side of the family put blame on a girl, that something wrong with this girl, this is why this breakup. And the girl side of the family put blame on the guy side of the family, they say something must be wrong with this guy. Rest assured, know that it's possible that both may be good, but it didn't work out. For in case of Zainab and Zayd, it didn't work out because Zainab belonged to a higher status of the family and she was just never able to accept Zayd as her husband, even though she did so because Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked her, but later she just didn't get along. Not that Zayd has any problem. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, another reason was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wanted to let the world know that Zayd, meaning the adopted son, is not the real son. So for that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala chose Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam for this big, huge test, that divorce Zainab alayhi salam from Zayd and marry Zainab. And this was very, very, very tough test for Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Despite of him being prophet, it was fearful for him and he felt apprehension in his heart. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned this apprehension in the Quran. I feel that you have fear, but you should not fear because the command of Allah has come and now you have to do. And you know what? Even Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, since he was scared because what did the people are going to say? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, don't be afraid of people. Let them say whatever they say, but Islam tells you to do this. Allah is telling you to do something. Should you still be afraid of people? So very much information given Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as actually revealed in this ayah for us to learn. Meaning, if people will be scared to leave the traditions of the family, this is not something right. Don't be scared of people. If the family tradition has something that is wrong, let it go. Because you and I should only fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I am the one who's going to do your nikah. I already did your nikah with Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning the nikah took place in heavens for Zainab and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam did not have to do proper nikah on the earth because it was already done by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala up in the heavens. Why? Because this was a special case. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the society was in the awe. How come Prophet is marrying his own daughter-in-law? To in order to refute all that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did this nikah up in the heavens. Lesson for us. Family traditions are not part of Islam, then they should not be followed. There is not to be upon the Prophet any discomfort concerning that which Allah has imposed upon him, that is the established way of Allah with those prophets who have passed on before, and ever is the command of Allah a destiny decreed. What do we learn in this ayah? We learn that higher status of prophethood requires higher tests. This is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tested the Prophet, but this was not done to discomfort Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but this was the test because he was given the elevated status, right? So Allah praises those who convey the message of Allah and fear him and do not fear anyone but Allah, and sufficient is Allah as accountant. Meaning, don't fear people. It is the fear of people that keeps you away from coming to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is the fear of people, what people are going to say. People are going to talk about it. Somebody's going to say some comment on me. Command or that command. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is not the father of any of your men, but he is the messenger of Allah and seal. That is the last of the Prophet, and ever is Allah all of the things knowing. Ayah number 40 is very important, because in that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying that Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the final messenger, no more Prophet. Notice the word, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not say he is last messenger, but he said there is a seal now, meaning the seal cannot be broken anymore. It is not the stamp, because when the stamp is put on something, that means it can be replaced. But when the seal is put on, that means the chapter has closed. Chapter of prophethood has closed. No more prophet can come. But you know what? Even when Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was alive, in his time, the fitna of false prophethood started. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam received a letter from one of the person, and in that letter, the person said to the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, from the Prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and his name was Musaylima. Musaylima wrote a letter, and he announced his prophecy in front of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Can you imagine? This happened at the time of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied to him that you are not a prophet of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said, Musaylima Rasulullah. So Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied to him, Musaylima al-Kazzab. From there, his name became Musaylima Kadhab, because he was the one who claimed false prophethood at the time. And if it can happen at the time of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam when he was alive, today we see the fitna of denying the hadith, it also comes under that. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam warned us that after him, there will be 30 people who will claim to do the prophethood claim, false prophethood. And today we see a large group of people who call themselves Muslims, but they actually consider their own ulama or alim or whoever that is their prophet. And they call themselves Qadiani. Sometimes they call themselves Ahmadi. And there's a large group number of people who stay in the West. And they are the most organized people. They are rich people. And they support themselves, each other a lot. So we should warn our kids when they go to our schools and colleges, because the MSAs are run by them. And they are very powerful people, and they are very organized people, and they have very good networking system. And when you go see, you know how much zakat they give? They give 25% of the zakat, not 2.5%. And do you know that everything is halal in them, even though they call themselves Muslim, but everything is halal in them. In fact, alcohol is halal, dating is halal, living together is halal, everything is halal in them. So this sounds like a very easy religion, and our kids who are not aware of this fitna, they go there. So we need to make them aware that Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the last and final messenger, and there is no more prophecy after him. So what did we learn in this section? Beautiful qualities of believing men and women. O Allah, make us possible that we get these qualities. Zainab and Zaid's marriages and the lessons from this we learn. And every decision is Allah's decision. You and I are not supposed to question any decision. O Allah, why did you put this command in there? Why did you put that command in there? I don't like it. And Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was last and final messenger, and do zikr of Allah in abundance. And traditions that are non-Islamic must be removed from our lifestyle. What else we learn? In the next slide that you see, beautiful relationships. If you go to the next slide, skip this slide for now. Let's go to the next slide, and you see the hadith about zikr. Abu Darda reported the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Shall I not tell you of the best of your deeds, which is the purest to your king, and which raises you among your ranks, which is better for you than spending gold and money in charity, and which is better for you than meeting your enemy and striking the necks of each other?" They said, "Of course." Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "It is the remembrance of Allah Almighty." What do we learn here? When we actually make our tongues wet with the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah raises your status in this dunya and in hereafter. And if you go to the next slide, there's another hadith narrated by Abu Huraira radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Allah says, I am just as my slaves think I am." And I already shared this hadith. I just want to bring you the reminder of it, that I am able to do for him what he thinks I can do for him. And I am with him. He remembers me. If he remembers me in himself, I too remember him in myself. And if he remembers me in a group of people, I remember him in a group of people. That is better than they. And if he comes one span nearer me, I go one cubit nearer to him. And if he comes one cubit nearer to me, I go a distance of two outstretched arms nearer to him. And if he comes to me walking, I go to him running. So, what are some of the forms of zikr I wanted to mention? Number one is Quran itself is a zikr. You know why? Because aren't we feeling the love of Allah when we're learning this Quran? So this is also zikr that you're doing. When you devote yourself, your life, upcoming life with the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is constant zikr. And then salah is also zikr. When you do any charity work, that's also zikr. When you volunteer in Allah's way, this is also zikr. When you do something good and keep kinship in the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, serve your family, cook the food, everything becomes zikr if you do it with the right intention. Now let's go to the slide of ayah number 41 to 52. Beautiful relations. What do we learn in this? Ya ayyuhallazina amanu uzkuru Allaha zikran kathira. O you who have believed, remember Allah with much of the remembrance and exalt him morning and afternoon. It is he who confers blessings upon you, and his angels ask him to do so, and that he may bring you from darkness into the light, and ever is he to the believers merciful. When we do zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when we attach ourselves to this Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in this ayah 43 that he will bring you from the darkness into the light. Question: do we want to come in the light? If we do, then we should really try to train our minds and hearts to be engaged in zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while we're doing anything. Now some of you can say, "I am a working woman." So what? Can you have your tongue busy in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's zikr? Yes, you can. Can you have the conscious heart and mind when you are talking to people? Yes, you can. So do the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with your heart, with your tongue, and with your actions, whichever one is possible at the moment. And their greetings the day they meet him will be peace, and he has prepared for them a noble reward. O Prophet, indeed, we have sent you as a witness and a bringer of the good tidings and a warner and one who invites to Allah by his permission and an illuminating lamp. Highlight this ayah number 46. You know what Allah SWT says? This ayah is for Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and he was inviting other people to Islam. Allah SWT says, "You are wasirajan wa munira." What do we learn? If we carry on the mission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make us illuminating light too. And give good tidings to the believers that they will have from Allah great bounty. And do not obey the disbelievers and the hypocrites, and disregard this annoyance, and rely upon Allah, and sufficient is Allah as disposer of affairs. Don't you feel the love of Allah in these ayahs? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, "You come to me, I come to you. You want me, I will give you more. You come little, I will come to you more." And O you who have believed, when you marry believing women and then divorce them before you have touched them, that is consummation of the marriage. It can happen. You know, sometimes people do nikah and the marriage didn't take place, meaning the getting together didn't take place. In that case, what should you do? Then there is not for you any waiting period to count concerning them, meaning there is no other period for them. So provide for them and give them a gracious relief. Let them go without any problem, inshallah. And then ayah number 50, O Prophet, indeed, we have made lawful to you your wife to whom you have given their due compensation. The ayah number 50 is exclusively for Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he was given higher task and he was given some exceptions. This is not for all the rest of the ummah. It is the exceptions made for Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam, so he can carry on his mission with exceptional indulgence in the mission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what do we learn here? O Prophet, indeed, we have made lawful to you your wives to whom you have given their due compensation and those your right hand possesses from what Allah has returned to you of captives, and the daughters of your paternal uncles, and the daughters of your paternal aunts, and the daughters of your maternal uncles, and the daughters of your maternal aunts, who immigrated with you, and believing woman, if she gives herself to the Prophet, and if the Prophet wishes to marry her, that is only for you, excluding the other believers. We certainly know what we have made obligatory upon them concerning their wives and those their right hand possesses, but that this is for you, in order that there will be upon you no discomfort, meaning any difficulty, and ever is Allah forgiving and merciful. Tarja tuji man tashaa minhunna wa tuwi ilayka man tashaa. You, O Prophet, may put aside whom you will of them, or take to yourself whom you will, and any that you desire of those wives for whom you had temporarily separated. There is no blame upon you in returning her. That is more suitable, that they should be content and not grieve, that they should be satisfied with what you have given them, all of them. And Allah knows what is in your hearts, and ever is Allah and knowing and forbearing. These ayahs, ayah number 50 and 51, are exclusively for Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not lawful to you, O Prophet, or any additional woman after this, nor is it for you to exchange them for other wives, even if their beauty were to please you, except what your right hand possesses, and ever is Allah over all things an observer. O you who have believed, now the ayahs from 53 is for the believers. Up until now, it was ayahs for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam only. So what did we learn from this paragraph? Do zikr of Allah in abundance. Allah is enough for us. And one who invites to Allah by his permission, an illuminated lamp. This was Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given the special exceptions, which is not for rest of the ummah, and women plays comforting and important role in life of a man. And ayah number 53 to 58, we learn etiquette of attending invitation. O you who have believed, do not enter the houses of the prophets except when you are permitted for a meal. Here we learn, somebody invites you what to do and when should we go to people's houses. O you who have believed, you and I, do not enter the houses of the prophet except when you are permitted for a meal. Meaning, when he invites you, when somebody invites you, only then go. You're not supposed to just walk into somebody's house. Hey, can I come over? If they invite you, if they say yes, you should go. If they say no, don't feel bad, because it is their right to say no without awaiting its readiness. Meaning, when somebody is ready or not, here I come. This is what people sometimes do. But when you are invited, then enter. It is a right of a person to accept the invitation. People nowadays don't take this command very seriously. When people invite somebody, it is your right to accept the invitation. You should go, as long as there is nothing wrong going on, un-Islamic going on. You should take the invitation and accept it. And when you have eaten, disperse without seeking to remain for conversation. What do we learn here? Meaning, once you enter, once they serve you the food, do not stay too long, because now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said they are tired, they must be cooking, they must be working. Now you should leave. And you know, in our culture, after dinner, people sit and long night, and people don't leave. This is not Islam. So it is best when you are invited, go there, eat, and say salam and come back. Don't prolong your conversation. Indeed, the behavior was troubling to the Prophet. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was not able to say no to people. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this ayah for him and for us to learn that he is not able to say it and he is a shy of dismissing you, meaning he feels bad. But Allah is not shy of the truth, meaning your host might feel bad that you're not going, but he's not able to say to you that please go now because it's rude. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I am not shy of it. I'm telling you what to do. And when you ask his wife for something, ask them from behind the partition. What do we learn here? No face-to-face conversation without any barrier. Meaning, you have to be behind the curtains to talking to non-mahrams. Prophet's wives were told to talk to non-mahrams without behind the curtain. Aisha radhiyallahu ta'ala anha, she was a teacher of the Sahaba, but she never talked face-to-face. She was talking behind the veil. So what do we understand here? No intermingling with opposite gender. And when you ask his wife for something, ask them from behind the partition. That is purer for your hearts and their hearts. Meaning, why take a risk? Why go friend if because this will deviate, because shaitan is always there. So take precaution. You should always be behind the veil, talking from behind the scene. Yes, you can do that. There's no parda, there's no hijab of the voice. You can talk, you can learn, you can do business with them, but behind this veil. And this is pure for your heart and their hearts. And it is not conceivable or lawful for you to harm the messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or to marry his wife after him ever. This is why they became Ummahatul Mu'mineen, the mothers of the believer, because they're not supposed to marry after Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had gone. Indeed, that would be in the sight of Allah an enormity. Whether you reveal a thing or conceal it, indeed, Allah is ever over all things. Knowing there is no blame upon them, that is women, concerning their fathers or their sons or their brothers or their brothers' sons or their sisters' sons and or their women or those their right hand possesses, that is slaves, and fear Allah. Indeed, Allah is ever all the things, over all the things, witness. This ayah number 55 is a list of mahram that women can reveal herself to. But unfortunately, today this list has been extended. And your husband's cousins also comes under this list. Your husband's friends also comes under this list. This list is extended by people, not by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given a strict list of mahram that a woman should be revealing themselves to. But this ayah is supposed to be really paid attention to. And indeed, Allah confers blessings upon the prophets and his angels. Ask him to do so. O you who have believed, ask Allah to confer blessings upon him and ask Allah to grant him peace. And indeed, those who abuse Allah and his messenger, Allah has cursed them in this world and the hereafter and prepared for them a humiliating punishment. And those who harm believing men and believing women for something other than what they have earned, that is, they deserve, have certainly borne upon themselves a slander and manifest sin. What do we learn in this paragraph? Keep distance, it is purer for you. Follow etiquettes of attending the party. Accept the invitation. It is the right of the other person upon you. Once finished, do not stay too long. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu reported that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, when any one of you is invited to a feast, he should attend it. It's in Muslim 1429. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the brother-in-law's is death. Reported by Bukhari, meaning in our culture, when this list is extended and then we say, you know, this is my husband's brother, I have to live together in a joint family system, so I'm going to go in front of them. And you know what? Sometimes mother-in-law really makes it hard for a new daughter-in-law who comes in. And when if she is a believing woman and she does hijab and she doesn't want to be in front of the husband's brother, she's the one who says, oh, it is my son too, and now you bring, what kind of Islam are you bringing? You're living in a joint family system and you're not going to open up your hair in front of this person. This is your husband's brother. He's your younger brother. He's like your brother. No, it's not. Younger brother of husband's is not a younger brother of yours. Even though when you got married, the brother, younger brother was 3 years old and you're the one who fed him and cleaned him and clothed him. Now he's a grown-up man. He's not your mihram. And today, we, in the name of joint family system, we have allowed everything and anything. This is not allowed in Islam. Even the husband's brother or your sister's husband is also not mihram to you. Or your husband's brothers, they are not mihram to you. And forget about all the cousins. If we don't even do consider hijab with our brothers, what about cousins? And we say, oh, this is my cousin, this is my husband's cousin, and they're very younger than me. It doesn't matter. Even if they're age of your child, still doesn't matter. Even if you're a grown-up woman, still doesn't matter. Because what Allah said so, Allah said so. So, in the next paragraph, ayah number 59 to 68, we learn hijab is for the precious ones, the ones that are special in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let's make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, make us understand these ayahs. Ayah number 59, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O Prophet, tell your wives and your daughters and the women of the believers. I want you to notice the word. First, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, Ya ayyuhan nabi, Allah is addressing Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have said this ayah directly to us, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying no, through the Prophet. So it is more, it has more weight to it. Ya ayyuhan nabi, kul, say, li azwajika, to your wives, wa banatika, to your daughters, wa nisa'il mu'mineen. Who are nisa'il mu'mineen? The women of the believers, meaning us, you and I. What Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here, tell them what? To bring down over themselves, alayhinna, yudnina alayhinna min jalabi bihinna. Yudnina alayhinna min jalabi bihinna. To bring down over themselves part of their outer garment. That is more suitable that they will be known and not to be abused. And ever is Allah forgiving and merciful. Notice here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying they should put this outer garment on themselves. Dhalika adna yarafna, meaning, so they are known. Meaning, they are distinguished, they are distinct, they are separated from other women of the time of Jahiliyyah. Today, we say that Muslim women say, you know what, don't try to stand out, just try to mix in, so you're not really standing out like an eyesore. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying something opposite. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying you should stand out so people would know far away that you are Muslim. Oh, the Muslimah is going. Oh, the Muslim believing woman is going. You know, today, sometimes you cannot even tell if they're Muslim or not unless they come and say salam to you. You cannot tell from their outfits that they are Muslim. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying they should be able to tell you that you are Muslim. And now let's pay attention to this word, jalabi bihinna. What is jalabi bihinna? Jilbab is also from the same thing. Jalabi bihinna is a big, huge piece or sheet of material, you can say. The way you should be putting on yourself is that you are covered inside, meaning the shape of the body should not be showing, your hair should not be showing, your part of the face should be hidden in there, and your every part of yourself. And you should put this cloth, the piece of cloth on when you go out, when you are in front of other people, the non-mahram. Why? Because now everybody should know that you are a believing woman. And people get really sad and upset in believing women, Muslims, that, you know what, why do we have to do this? And this jalabi bihinna can be in many different shapes and forms. Some people can take a big, huge sheet of cloth like that, or today it is in the form of an abaya and in the form of a cloth that you put that covers you, and that you have to put this garment, outer garment, when you go outside. It could be in the two pieces form, like in hijab and abaya. It could be in a one huge piece. It could be in any form. The purpose is here is that the body parts should not be showing, because woman is very attractive to men. It is a job of a woman. Now, you should not do this hijab for men, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ask you about them. You should do this hijab because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said so. This Allah that we've been learning from the Juz 1, this Allah that we're trying to gain the love and affection of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the Juz 1. And now we have reached this far, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put this ayah in Juz 22. Do you know why? Because first, the ground preparation was going on. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was softening the heart by preparing to whatever the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes, we are able to take it. Now, people say, oh, I cannot do that. Well, you know what? At least have at least the people who do not do it, they should know that it is something that is in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You cannot deny the fact. You cannot justify the fact. Just because you feel like not to doing it, that's one thing. But when people try to justify, no, hijab is the heart, hijab of the heart, then things become wrong. Even if the person who's not doing any hijab, they should not deny this ayah. They should not say this ayah was revealed 1400 years ago. It is not valid now. They cannot say that the commandment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is for a certain time period. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent this Quran forever. Yes, it is possible that people do not follow. It is up to them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows how to deal with them. And the reward and the punishment is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will judge between them. Who are you and I to disregard this ayah? Today, people are very quick to pass judgment. Oh, this is not right. Because now we're working for women. How are we going to do that? Even if you're not doing it, that doesn't mean Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't want you to do it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, your place is beautiful. You're supposed to take care of your husbands and house and the family. What's so hard about that? And when people who say, I cannot bring this overnight change in myself, well, guess what? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to know that it is the command. Now, you can ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me courage to do that. You can take some time, because our deen is deen of graduality. For some people, at least take some step. People who wear sleeveless, they can take a step further and they can just start wearing good sleeves. People who wear short sleeves, they should start wearing full sleeves. People whose sleeves don't have any lining, they're see-through, they can start putting some lining on it. People who wear tight clothing, they can start wearing looser clothing. People who do hijab, they can start covering their chest too, and the neck and the earrings too. People who already do that, they can move up to abaya and fancy abaya. The people who do the fancy abaya, and they can move up to the nicer abaya, which is not eye-catching. And people who wear tight abayas, they can come to the looser abayas. And this is basically a taqwa, right? You have to understand, you have to believe. You cannot deny the ayah, but you cannot justify the ayah. But you have to see where you stand. If you find enough love of Allah, you can start tomorrow. If you find you need some time, you can talk to Allah about that. But at least bring some change. If you don't do hijab, which is halfway hair showing, you can do the full hijab all the way to your forehead. So it's all up to you. But the command is there, and very clear command. And now people say, oh, what about the niqab? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to do niqab here. Yes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to cover your faces. When people who are not able to cover their faces, at least they should not deny this fact. Yes, they should know that I am not covering my face. This is not something I should be doing. But that doesn't mean that the command is not there. Now, people say there's a differences of opinion on this issue, whether you should cover your face or not. This is not the fiqh class, and this is not the detailed class either. For that, inshallah, you can join the Quran class, and we will learn all the details. But here, you should understand one thing, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said something, and that's it. No questions asked. Whether you should get into this fiqh issue or not, that's a different story. We're not here to pass judgment on people. We are here to just learn about ourselves. May Allah truly make it easy for us to understand this ayah. And then, if the hypocrites and those in whose heart is disease and those who spread rumors in Al-Madinah do not cease, we will surely incite you against them. Then they will not remain your neighbors therein except for a little. A curse wherever they are found being seized and massacred completely. Why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking about hypocrites right in the next ayah? Because it is the hypocrisy that keep people away from obeying the commands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This established way of Allah will those who passed on before, and you will not find in the way of Allah any change. And then, people ask you concerning the hour, say, knowledge of it is in only with Allah. And what may make you perceive, perhaps, the hour is near. Indeed, Allah has cursed the disbelievers and prepared for them a blaze, abiding therein forever. They will not find protector or a helper. The day their faces will be turned about in the fire. Notice here, Allah SWT is talking about faces here. يَوْمَ تُقَلَّبُ وُجُوهُهُمْ فِي النَّارِ. The day their faces will be turned about in the fire, they will say, how we wish we had obeyed Allah and obeyed the Messenger. It is all about the face, isn't it? It's the face that's the prettiest part. This is why people who do not do niqab, at least they should not have any makeup on, because now they're beautifying their face and then going out to be in the public. The people who do niqab, they can do tons of makeup. But you know why? Because it's not visible to non-mahram anyway. So they can do tons of makeup. But people who do not do niqab, they should not be doing any makeup. You know why? Because everything is about the face. And ayah number 67, and they will say, our Lord, indeed, we obeyed our masters and our dignitaries, and they led us astray from the right way. Our Lord, give them double the punishment and curse them with a great curse. You know why? Because whatever people, believing women do, they are the role model for their daughters and for the offsprings to come. So what do we learn in here? Hijab is for those who are precious in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to give this message to people, meaning it has a great impact and importance to it. And hijab is the protection for ourselves, not for anybody else. And before leaving the house, ask yourself, do you look Muslimah or you don't? Don't change sunnah because of your desires. Commands of Quran are valid until the day of judgment. Have intention to bring change. In the next paragraph, ayah number 69-73, we learn about amana. What do we learn in this ayah? Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu. O you who have believed, be not like those who abused Musa. And then Allah created him of what they said, and he in the sight of Allah was distinguished. O you who have believed, fear Allah and speak words of appropriate justice, and He will then amend for you your deeds and forgive you your sins. And whoever obeys Allah and His Messenger has certainly attained a great attainment. Indeed, we offered the crust to the heavens and the earth and the mountains, and they declined to bear it and feared it. But man undertook to bear it. Indeed, he was unjust and ignorant. This Quran is very heavy. No mountain can take it. Nobody else can take it. But we are given this trust, this amana, this Quran. We need to keep it. We need to carry it the way it's supposed to be. It was so that Allah may punish the hypocrites men and hypocrite women and the men and the women who associate others with Him, and that Allah may accept repentance from the believing men and believing women, and ever is Allah forgiving and merciful. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. We have just completed a beautiful surah. Let's listen to the recitation and contemplate. Try to just think through, inshallah, while we're listening to the surah Sabah, first couple ayahs recitation.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله الذي له ما في السماوات وما في الأرض وله الحمد في الآخرة وهو الحكيم الخبير يعلم ما يلج في الأرض وما يخرج منها وما ينزل من السماء وما يعرج فيها وهو الرحيم الغفور وقال الذين كفروا لا تأتين الساعة قل بلى وربي لتأتينكم عالم الغيب لا يعزب عنه مثقال ذرة في السماوات ولا في الأرض ولا أصغر من ذلك ولا أكبر إلا في كتاب مبين ليجزي
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم سورة سبع. Surah Sabah is very different surah. Surah, in this surah, we will learn about the comparison of the people who are grateful and ungrateful. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi ladhi lahu ma fi samawati wa ma fi ardi wa lahu alhamdu fil akhirati wa huwa al-hakimul khabir. In this surah, notice here, it starts with the word Alhamdulillah again. You know, this is also Every now and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala starts the surah with Alhamdulillah to remind us that everything is to be all praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And who is Allah? All praise is due to Allah, to whom belongs whatever is in the heavens and whatever is in the earth, and to him belongs all praise in the hereafter. And he is the wise, the aware. He knows. He knows what penetrates into the earth and what emerges from it, and what descends from the heavens, and what ascends therein. And he is the merciful, the forgiving. But those who disbelieve say, the hour will not come to us, say, yes, but by my Lord, it will surely come to you from the knower of the unseen. Not absent from him is an atom's weight within the heavens or within the earth, or what is smaller that or greater, except that is in clear register. Meaning, Allah knows everything. You and I cannot hide what is in our heart, what is in our pockets, what is in our bank account, and assume that nobody knows. That he may reward those who believe and do righteous deeds, those will have forgiveness and noble provision. But those who strive against our verses, seeking to cause failure for them, will be painful punishment of foul nature. And those who have been given knowledge, see that what is revealed to you from your Lord is the truth, and it guides to the path of the exalted and mighty, the praiseworthy. But those who disbelieve say, shall we direct you to man who will inform you that when you have disintegrated in complete disintegration, you will then be recreated in a new creation? For them, it was a really amusing information. Has he invented about Allah a lie, or is there in him madness? Rather, they who do not believe in the hereafter will be in the punishment and are in extreme error. Then do they not look at what is before them and what is behind them of the heavens and the earth? If we should will, we could cause the earth to swallow them, or could let fall upon them fragments from the sky. Indeed, in that is a sign for every servant turning back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What do we learn in here? Ayahs of Allah are far above than what we think. They are meant for a reason. We cannot take them lightly. Allah, all praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who gave us this Quran. Imagine the life without the Quran. And if heart is present, then deen becomes easy. Meaning, when our heart is in the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then following this book becomes easy. Believe and prepare for akhirah. In the next paragraph, ayah number 10 to 21, rise and fall because of gratitude or ingratitude. Ayah number 10, وَلَقَدْ أَتَيْنَا دَاوُدَ مِنَّا فَضْلًا يَعْجِبَالُ أَفْرِدِ مَعَهُ وَطَيِّرِ وَأَلَّنَا لَهُ الْحَدِيدِ. And we certainly gave Dawood from us bounty. We said, O mountains, repeat our praise with him and the birds as well, and we made pliable for him iron. Commanding him, make full coats of mail and calculate precisely the lengths and work all of you righteousness. Indeed, I of what you do am seeing. And to Suleiman, we subjected the winds. Its morning journey was that of a month, and its afternoon journey was that of a month. And we made flow for him a spring of liquid copper. And among the jinn were those who work for him by a permission of Allah, his Lord. And whoever deviated among them from our command, we will make him taste of the punishment of the blaze. They made for him what he willed of elevated chambers, statues, bowls, like reservoirs and stationary cattle. We said, work, O family of Dawood, in gratitude, and few of my servants are grateful. وَقَلِيلٌ مِّنْ عَبَادِيَ الشَّكُورِ. In ayah number 13, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed a lot of favors to Dawood alayhi salam and Suleiman alayhi salam. All the worldly goodness were given to them, and yet they were given the prophethood too. So what we learn here is that when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, it's possible for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bestow best of the both worlds. All Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala what want from us is that be grateful servant. Whatever comes your way, take it. Whatever comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells you, do it. Whatever is and given to you, love it. Why? Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَلِيلًا مِنْ عِبَادِ الشَّكُورِ, only few people are shakur, the rest of them are ungrateful. And when we decreed for him, that is Suleiman, death nothing indicate to them, that is jinn, his death except a creature of the earth eating its step, meaning jinn did know any unseen too. Some people say jinn know the unseen. Allah SWT is clearly saying, jinn never found out that Suleiman a.s. died already. But when he fell, it became clear to the jinn that if they had known the unseen, they would not have remained in humiliating punishment. There was a tribe of Saba. From now on, the story of Queen Saba, the tribe of the Saba, is starting. In their dwelling, place a sign, two fields of the garden, on the right and on the left, and they were told, eat from the provision of your Lord and be grateful to him. A good land have you and a forgiving Lord. This ayah, this paragraph, we learn about gratitude a lot. Why? Because gratitude is the key to success in this world and in the hereafter. When gratitude comes in, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala expands your heart. But they turn away, refusing so. We send upon them the flood of the dam, and we replace two fields of gardens with gardens of bitter fruit and tamarisk and something of spear lock tree. Meaning, because of their ingratitude, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took away the blessing that was bestowed upon them. Lesson for us. When we are ungrateful for the blessings that are given to us, they are taken away. Like, for example, this blessing of Quran, if we're not grateful for it, it will be taken away. The blessing of kids, if we're not grateful for it, they will be taken away. The blessing of wealth, health, or anything, if we're not grateful for it, it will be taken away. By that, we repay them because they disbelieve, does repay except the ungrateful. And we place between them and the cities which we had blessed many visible cities, and we determined between them the distance of journey, saying, travel between them by night or by the day. But only insolently said they said, our Lord, lengthen the distance between our journeys and wrong themselves. So we made them narrations and dispersed them in total dispersion. And indeed, in that are signs for everyone patient and grateful. Who will learn the sign? The one who is patient and the one who is grateful. Other he had over them no authority except it was decreed that we might make evident who believes in the hereafter from who is thereof in doubt. And your Lord over all things is guardian. What do we learn in this paragraph? We learn here that ingratitude brings downfall on a personal level and all level. Today, as a nation, as an ummah, we are ungrateful. You know why? This is why we see the downfall of the ummah. If the whole nation becomes gratitude, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will rise the ummah. And only few are grateful. Self-analysis you can do here. Is my heart filled with gratitude? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blesses both worlds. Narrated Abdullah bin Amr bin As, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam told me, the most beloved prayer to Allah is that of Dawood, and the most beloved fast to Allah are those of Dawood. He used to sleep for half the night and then pray for one third of the night and then again sleep for its sixth part of the night and used to fast in alternate days. Dawood alayhi salam was blessed with so many blessings. Did he have to do all this? But he did. You know why? Out of gratitude. Here we can do our self-analysis. How much gratitude do we have towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? In the next paragraph, ayah number 22 to 30, we learn the word is said. It already been said. What is it? Say, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, invoke those you claim as deities besides Allah. They do not possess an atom's weight of ability in the heavens or on the earth, and they do not have therein any partnership with him, nor is there for him from among them any assistant. And intercession does not benefit with him, except for one whom he permits, and those wait until terror is removed from their hearts. They will say to one another, what has your Lord said? They will say, the truth, and he is the most high, the grand. Say, oh, Who provides for you from the heavens and the earth? Say Allah. Can we say Allah? Say it. Allah provides everything to us. And indeed, we or you are either upon guidance or in clear error. Say, you will not be asked about what we commit, and we will not be asked about what you do. Everybody is responsible for their own deeds. Say, our Lord will bring us together, then He will judge between us in truth, and He is the knowing judge. Say, show me those whom you have attached to His people, to Him as partners. No, rather, He alone is Allah, the exalted in might and wise. And we have not sent you except comprehensively to mankind as a bringer of the good tidings and a warner, but most of the people do not know. And they say, when is this promise? If you should be truthful, say, for you is the appointment of a day when you will not remain there after an hour, nor will you precede it. What do we learn in this section? Do good now because time will run out, and leave ill the righteous deed and the sadaqah jariyah behind. We learn from the hadith, when a person leaves this world, only three things are left behind. That is, number one, his knowledge that is beneficial to others, and the righteous deeds, meaning that good deeds he did, and the child that he leaves behind who is righteous, and the sadaqah jariyah that he leaves behind, something that continues even after he's gone. Prophet ﷺ was given haq of shifa'at intercession, meaning that he will be able to do this for those whom Allah wills. Ayah number 37 to 45, we learn psychological reasons for not accepting the commands, because there's always some reasons behind people who deny the commands of Allah. And what are they? Ayah number 37, وَمَا أَمْوَالَكُمْ وَلَا أَوْلَادَكُمْ بِالَّتِي تُقَرِّبُكُمْ عِنْدَنَا. And it is not for your wealth or your children that bring you nearer to us in position. And the ones who strive against our verses to cause them failure, those will be brought into the punishment. Say, indeed, my Lord extends provisions for whom He wills of His servants and restricts it for whom, for Him. But whatever things you spend in His cause, He will compensate it, and He is the best of the providers. And mention the day when He will gather them all, and then say to the angels, did these people used to worship you? They will say, exalted are you, O Allah, are our benefactor excluding, that is not them. Rather, they used to worship the jinn. Most of them were believers in them. But today, that is the day of the judgment. You do not hold for one another the power of benefit or harm. And we will say to those who wrong, taste the punishment of the fire which you used to deny. When our verses are recited to them as clear evidences, they say, this is not but a man who wishes to avert you from that which your father were worshipping. And they say, this is not except a lie invented. And those who disbelieve say of the truth when it has come to them, this is not but obvious magic. And we had not given them any scripture which they could study. And we had not sent to them before you, O Prophet, any warner. And those before them denied, and they, that is the people of the Makkah, have not attained a tenth or of what we had given them. But they, that is the former people, denied my messengers. So the terrible was my reproach. What do we learn in this paragraph? People become blind, not able to see the truth despite of so many attempts. May Allah keep our hearts clear, give the heart clear vision. And you know why it happens? Because of the miserliness, because of the stinginess. Narrated Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, every day two angels come down from heavens, and one of them say, O Allah, compensate every person who spends in your cause. And the other angels say, O Allah, destroy every miser. This is in Sahih al-Bukhari 1442. What do we learn here? Do we want the du'as of angels to be in our favor? Then we should spend in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know why? Because وَهُوَ أَخَيْرُ الرَّازِقِينَ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who provides for it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the one who's going to replace. So the more you give, the more replaced it will be. The more you empty out your bank balance, the more Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will fill it. If you hold on to your bank account, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will seize it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give you more because Allah doesn't give more to miserly people. May Allah open up our heart to give in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that is meant to be given. Ayah number 46 to 54, why people deny Islam. What do we learn here? Say, I only advise you of things that you stand for Allah, seeking truth in pairs and individually, and then give thought. There is not in your companion any madness. He is only a warner to you before a severe punishment. Say, whatever payment I might have asked of you, it is yours. My payment is only from Allah, and He is over all things witness. Say, indeed, my Lord projects the truth, knower of the unseen. Say, the truth has come, and falsehood can neither begin nor repeat it. Say, if I should err, I would only err against myself. But if I am guided, it is by what my Lord reveals to me. Indeed, He is hearing and near. And if you could see when they are terrified, but there is no escape, and they will be seized from a place nearby, and they will then say, we believe in it, but how far will be the taking of faith from a far away? And they had already disbelieved in it before, and would assault the unseen from a place far away, and prevention will be placed between them and what they desire, as was gone with their kind before. Indeed, they were in disappointing doubt, meaning they were in denial. So what is a small surah, it's beautiful surah, very simple and easy. But the main lesson we learn from this surah is gratitude and ingratitude. The attitude of gratitude will give you your blessings stay forever. And the ingratitude takes away the blessings of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you consider this iman as something valuable, then be grateful for it. If you consider this Quran is something valuable in your life, then be grateful for it. Or else Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes it away and people don't even know. People think they're being smart. They're making a very smart decision for not coming forward with the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because they don't have time. They don't understand. It is the ingratitude that takes people away from Quran. So what else we learn here? When people will be caught, imagine how will the day will be, because in this surah we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is catching them and it will happen. So we need to try imagining this. You know why? Because so that we can prepare for ourselves. People come to Quran when there is a hardship. When people are having a good time, they leave the Quran on a side trunk and it stays there collecting dust. And what else? Avoid any and all doubts. The one who die on yaqeen will wake up on yaqeen as well. Meaning, have a strong conviction. If you have a strong conviction, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make us die with iman too. And develop strong relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because wishy-washy relationship, once in a while relationship, when in the times of need relationship is not going to suffice. Allah is supposed to be the priority of the life, not the back burner. Not something the side issue. In times of need, we bring Allah in our life, we ask dua, we cry all night long. When the hardship is taken away, we come back to the normal life. May Allah really truly make us understand this Quran. Let's listen to the recitation of Surah Fatir, first three ayahs, inshallah, and then we will move on to Surah Fatir.
Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Fatiris Samawati wal Ardi Ja'ilil Malaikati Rusulan Uli Ajnihatin Mathna. قولي أجنحة مثنى وثلاث وارباع يزيد في الخلق ما يشاء إن الله على كل شيء قدير ما يفتح الله للناس من رحمة فلا ممسك لها وما يمسك فلا مرسل له من بعده وهو العزيز الحكيم. يا أيها الناس اذكروا نعمة الله عليكم هل من خالق غير الله يرزقكم من السماء والأرض لا إله إلا هو فأنى تؤفكون.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله فاطر السماوات والأرض جعل الملائكة رسلا أولي أجنحة مثنى وثلاثة ورباع. All praise is due to Allah, creator of the heavens and the earth, who made the angels, messengers having wings, two or three or four. He increases in creation what He wills. Indeed, Allah is over all things competent. Surah Fatir, in this first paragraph, we Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is able to create anything and everything. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created these angels which have two or three or four wings. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do anything. Rest assured, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can do anything, and He will listen to your du'as too. He will listen to what your heart is saying too. And whatever Allah grants to people of mercy, none can withhold it. Rest assured. People say, you know what, this woman of mine, my mother-in-law, has put some kind of a magic upon me, magic spell on me. This is why I'm not getting this. And this, my aunt in the family, she's a very wicked person. She's stopping my provision. And my husband lost a job because of this friend of his, because he's always talking about it. People always blame to these things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly says, ma yaftahillah, meaning whatever Allah grants to people of mercy, none can withhold it. It is Allah who provides and it is Allah who stops it. There is no action of people. People assume that it is not possible for people to stop if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills to give. If there is no provision and a lack of provision, it is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills so. So none can withhold it, and whatever He withholds it, none can release it thereafter. Meaning if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides to withhold it, nobody can have Him release it. And He is the exalted and the might and the wise, O mankind. Remember the favors of Allah upon you. Let's take a 5-second pause and try to think of the favors that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us. What is the biggest favor that comes in your mind? Write it down. I will ask you in 5 seconds. What is the biggest favor that comes in your mind? People might say it's the health, it's wealth, it's children, it's fulan, it's this and that. But you know what? The biggest favor that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has upon you and I is Iman. Because think about all the people who are not having Iman. What's going to happen to them? Allah knows best. So let's value our Iman and be grateful about it. And is there any creator other than Allah who provide for you from the heavens and earth? That is no deity. There is no deity except Him. So how are you deluded? And if they deny you, O Prophet, already were messengers denied before you, and to Allah returns all matters. Meaning, do not get upset. Everything is in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and all matters will be returned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rest assured for that. Turja'ul umur. O mankind, indeed, the promise of Allah is truth. So let not the worldly life delude you. Highlight this part. Do we have this promise of Allah in our heart and mind, or do we have the love of this dunya in our heart and mind? Because if promises of Allah take the precedence in our heart and mind, then this book becomes fun, entertainment, easy, enjoyable. And then, let not this worldly life delude you, and be not deceived about Allah by the deceiver, meaning Shaitan. Shaitan constantly incites the information. Do this, don't do this. Don't go there, do this, and do not do this. And you know what? Shaitan incites you for whatever he wants you to incite with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promises you whatever he likes to be promises with. So what do we understand here? Which one should we listen to? Let's ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, oh Allah, train our hearts to listen to Allah only and not the incitement of Shaitan. Indeed, Shaitan is an enemy to you, so take him as an enemy. It is the command of Allah SWT saying, right? Because Allah SWT is saying, take him as an enemy. Take him as an enemy. فَاتَّخِذُوهُ عَدُوًّا. Hold on to him as he is your real enemy. And he is, right? And he only invites his party to be among the companions of the blaze. Meaning, whatever incitements come from Shaitan, they will lead you to hellfire. And those who disbelieve will have a severe punishment. And those who believe and do righteous deeds will have forgiveness and great reward. So what do we learn here? Allah created us first time. Allah SWT can create us again. And remember the favors of Allah SWT. In fact, go home and do this activity tonight before iftar time. Sit with your family and let them write down the favors of Allah SWT. And be grateful to Allah. And know the reality of this world, because this world will disappear and we will cry. May Allah save all of us from the crying of the Day of Judgment. In ayah number 8 to 14, when we learn here, when Iman comes, what happens? Then is one to whom the evil has been made attractive, so he considers it good, like already rightly guided. For indeed, Allah sends stray whom he wills and guides whom he wills. So do not let yourself perish over that and over them. Indeed, Allah is knowing of what they do. And it is Allah who sent the winds. They stir the clouds and we drive them to dead land and give life thereby to the earth after its lifelessness. Thus is the resurrection. And whoever desires honor. Question. Do we desire honor? Do we want to be honorable? Honorable through power. Then to Allah belongs all honor. You should know, we all should know that all honor is from Allah SWT and all honor belongs to Allah SWT and He is the one who bestows honor if He wills, whomever He wills. To Him ascends good speed and righteous work raises it. But they who plot evil deeds will have a severe punishment and the plotting of those, it will perish. And Allah created you from dust, from a sperm drop, then he made you mates, and no female conceives, nor does she give birth except with his knowledge. And no aged person is granted additional life, nor is his lifespan lessened, but that it is in the register. Indeed, that for all is Allah is easy. People say, oh, they have restricted something, they are giving me something, and my life is going to be shortened because of that. If Allah wills, it will never be shortened. If Allah wills, nobody can stop to be from them to be shortened. And not alike are the two seas, that is the bodies of water. One is fresh and sweet, palatable for drinking, and one is salty and bitter. And from each you eat tender meat and extract ornaments which you wear, and you see the ships flying through them that you might seek of his bounty, and perhaps you will be grateful. He causes the night to enter the day, and he causes the day to enter the night, and has subjected the sun and the moon, each running its course, for a specified term, that is Allah, your Lord. To him belongs sovereignty, and those whom you invoke other than him do not possess as much as the membrane of a date seed. The word qitmir is used. You know, Allah SWT not even saying that they hold on to the dates, not even the dates, not even the seed of the date. It's just the thin membrane that is on top of the date seed. To them, they don't even have power enough to take care of that membrane on the seed. And people say they are doing this and they are doing that. And if you invoke them, they do not hear your supplication. And if they heard, they would not respond to you. And on the day of resurrection, they will deny your association, and none can inform you like one aware of all matters. People go to all these shrines and their graves. There's so much shirk, if you know it or not. But a lot of people who actually go to grave and ask for the people of grave to make du'a for them. Allah SWT is saying they don't hear. If they would hear, they would take themselves out. They buried themselves in 6 feet under the ground. If they had some power, the first thing they would do is just take themselves out of the grave. If they cannot do that, not even a tiny effort they can do, like a membrane on top of the date seed, do you think they can listen to your du'as? Do you think they can bring any change? People go to these people in the graves and they say, oh Baba, oh Fala, give me son, I want son, and they make du'a through them. Is that the right thing to do? You know, you and I really need to wake up and do something about our ummah. There may be people out there in our family who may be involved in some kind of a shirk. We need to step up and let them know that shirk is unforgivable sin. So what do we learn here? Inside eyes open up when a person comes to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and then he realizes that the shaitan is the one who is doing all these incitements. And deeper understanding develops when people attach themselves to the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what else we learn here? Do not sugarcoat bad deeds, because people do bad and they sugarcoat it and they make it appear to be the right one, the good deeds, and then other people get attracted to it. So knowingly or unknowingly, sometimes we do things, and this means that we are justifying it for others to follow us. May Allah really make us understand the fitna that we may cause sometimes by doing something that is not part of Islam, and we are justifying it so others can do it too. Ayah number 15 to 28, we learn who are the guided and who are the lost ones. O mankind, here notice Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is talking to all mankind. These ayahs are not for the believers only, but the whole humanity. Ya ayyuhan nasu antumul fuqara'u ila Allahi wallahu huwal ghaniyyul hamid. O mankind, you are those in need of Allah, while Allah is the free of need, the praiseworthy. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need us. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala doesn't need our praise. It doesn't matter to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whether we follow Allah's command or not. It is we who need it. It is we this curriculum is made for. It is us that we need to follow it, because it is for our own benefit. And if he wills, he can do away with you and bring forth a new creation. Meaning, we are replaceable. Just like we discard something in a garbage can, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will discard us and replace it with somebody else. Do you know, think of the people, the disbelievers and this dunya. The people who disobey, they are like a trash. What do we do with the trash? If we are not in use of anything, the thing that doesn't make any sense to us, what do? We discard them, even though it may be in a good condition. Like, for example, there's a plate sitting in your counter or your kitchen cabinet that is mismatch. And you say, you know what? I don't need this plate. What do? You discard it, because it's only one plate. What are you going to do? You cannot even give it to anybody else. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, when people disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they become like a discard garbage, which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put it in a trash can. And you know, the big, huge trash can is waiting, and that is called Jahannam. Jahannam is nothing more than a trash can, which takes away all the trash that is not good enough. They go to into the trash can. And the good stuff, the believers, the followers, they go into the real table, and that is the table of Jannah. May Allah really truly make us understand what is the difference between the guided ones and the ones who are totally lost in this dunya. And that is for Allah not difficult. And no bearer of the burdens will bear the burden of another. And if a heavily laden soul calls another to carry some of its loads, nothing of it will be carried, even if he should be close to a relative. Meaning, here in this dunya, you can call, you can message a close relative, and they can come and help you out from the situation that you're in. You know, they can bail you out. They can pay the bail amount for you to come out from the financial hole that you may be in. But over there is no such thing like that. You can only warn those who fear their Lord unseen, meaning believing in Allah in unseen what matters. Because once the curtain is down, once we see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's when, if people believe, that will be too late. And have established prayer, and whoever purifies himself only purifies himself for the benefit of his soul. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, whoever gives zakah and purify themselves now in this dunya, it will benefit to them, not Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And to Allah is the final destination. Not equal are the blind and the seeing. I want you to say yes or no. Do you believe that equal? Are they equal or not? So, because this is a comparison Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving. So let us know what is the difference between guided ones and the lost ones. So وَمَا يَسْتَوِي الْأَعْمَى وَالْبَصِيرُ Not equal are the blinds and the seeing, and وَلَا الظُّلُمَاتُ وَلَا النُّورُ Nor are the darknesses and the light, and nor are the shade and the heat, and not equal are the living and the dead. Indeed, Allah causes to hear whom He wills, not, but you cannot make hear those in the graves. People have all these huge shrines that are people go and they have these free food there. The free food is so attractive that people go there just to eat free food and not realizing that they're selling their iman, they're selling their faith by going and eating free food there. People today, even this day, they're very willing to give money to buy free food and give their free food in the shrine. But the same people are not willing to spend time and money to learn Quran. You know why? Because they find easy way out, the solution, not knowing that they are the one who are lost. You, O Prophet, are not but a warner, meaning warning is already here. Whether people take it or not, it's up to them. Indeed, we have sent you with truth as a bringer of the good tidings and a warner, and there was no nation but that there had passed within it a warner. And if they deny you, then already have those before them denied. Their messengers came to them with clear proofs and written ordinance and with the enlightened scripture. Then I seize the one who disbelieved, and how terrible was my reproach. Notice here, Allah SWT is talking in a first hand. I seize them, meaning Allah SWT himself. Do you not see that Allah sends down from the sky, we produce thereby fruits of varying colors? And in the mountain are tracks, white and red of varying shades, and some extremely black. Do you know there are mountains in China? They are rainbow-colored mountains. You can Google it when you go home. Don't do it now because it will distract you. You can Google it when you go home after this class. There are colorful mountains called rainbow mountains because of all the minerals and everything that's inside. The color comes outside. They're so beautiful. This is what Allah SWT is saying in this ayah number 27 here. And among people and moving creatures and grazing livestock are various colors, similarly, only those fear Allah from among His servants who have knowledge. Notice here the importance of knowledge. When people have awareness, when people have Quran, they are the one, the khashiyah in their hearts comes in. They are the one have a true knowing of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, Allah is exalted in might and forgiving. Listening to Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us among those who have the knowledge of this Quran. So what did we learn in this section? Dead and alive cannot be the same. Allah does not need us, we need Him. Allah will catch those who deny. And mu'min and kafir, meaning believer and disbeliever, cannot be equal. No one will carry burden of others on the day of judgment. So might as well carry our burden now, so we have enough good deeds, so we can pass with flying colors on a day of judgment. Ayah number 29 to 37, everything is in accordance according to ilm of Allah, the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, those who recite the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and establish prayer, notice here, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يَتْلُونَ كِتَابُ اللَّهِ Question, do we recite the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Alhamdulillah. And establish prayer and spend three things, Quran, Salah, and spend. If these three things are there, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala open up the heart of a person. And spend out of the what we have provided secretly and publicly, can expect a transaction, meaning profitable, that will never perish. So only three things. If you can highlight these three things and bring these three things in life, spend freely in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, not miss salah, not a single salah, and recite Quran every single day. Then that may give them in full their reward and increase for them of His bounty. Indeed, He is forgiving and appreciative. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ghafoorun shakoor. Shakoor is the one who appreciates a lot. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala appreciates a lot to these people. And that we have revealed to you, O Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, of the book is the truth, confirming what was before it. Indeed, Allah of His servants is aware and seeing. And then we cause to inherit the book those we have chosen of our servants, and among them is he who wronged himself in sins. press, be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala right now, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen you for his book. This is why you're sitting here. How many people got the flyers for this course? Many. How many people are sitting here? Alhamdulillah. So you are the one who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is choosing for his book. This is why you're learning all this information. Say Alhamdulillah. And among them is he who is moderate, and among them is he who is foremost in good deeds. By permission of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that inheritance is what is the great bounty. So we can all decide, we want to be stay in the middle level, we want to move up the ladder, we want to run towards the goodness. Choice is ours. Make decision now. Make dua now. Because if we don't make dua now, the chance will never be given to again, bi-idhnillah. And for them are gardens of perpetual residence, which they will enter. They will be adorned therein with bracelets of gold and pearls, and their garments therein will be silk. And they will pray, and they will say, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah alladhi azhaba anna al-hazan. Meaning, inna rabbana laghafurun shakur. Praise to Allah who has removed from us all sorrow. Indeed, our Lord is forgiving and appreciative. Who will say that? The one who is appreciative in this dunya. The one who is grateful in this dunya. He will say all these sentences there too. And he who has settled us in the home of the duration, that is paradise, out of his bounty, there touches us not in any fatigue. And there touches us not in any weariness. Meaning, no tiredness, no emotionally disturbed, no distress, no stress, and no depression. And for those who disbelieve will be the fire of the hell, death is not decreed for them, so they may die, nor will its torment be lightened for them. Thus do we recompense every ungrateful ones, and they will cry out therein. What's the cry will be? Our Lord, remove us, we will do righteousness, other than what we were doing, meaning the regrets will make them say this, that yes, we were living the wrong life, and make us fix it. But did we not grant you life enough? Question, is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granting us enough time? For whoever would remember therein to remember, and the warner had come to you? Question, is Quran is a warner for us? And so taste the punishment, for there is not for the wrongdoers any helper. What did we learn in this paragraph? Allah made us inheritors of his book, and we need to take care of this book so we can become an inheritor of the Jannah. The rewards are waiting for us. Amazing, beautiful rewards. Look forward to them. Allah is all appreciative. He doesn't let any deed go to waste. No death will come after this death. Meaning, when we go from this world, it is a permanent death. And after that, whatever the destiny is, whether it's hell or heaven, it will be forever. Recite Quran beautifully. In the next paragraph, ayah number 38 to 45, we learn Allah knows. Allah knows everything. Innahu alimun bi dhati sudur, meaning he knows what's in your sudur, the chest. Ayah number 38. Innallaha alimu ghaib as-samawati wal ardi. Innahu alimun bi dhati sudur. Indeed, Allah is knower of the unseen aspects of the heavens and earth. And indeed, he is knowing of that within the breasts. And it is he who has made you successors upon the earth, and whoever disbelieves upon him will be the consequences of his disbelief, and the disbelief of the disbelievers does not increase them in the sight of their Lord except in hatred, and the disbelief of the disbelievers does not increase them except in the loss. May Allah save us from this regretful loss. Say, have you considered your partners whom you invoke besides Allah? Show me what they have created from the earth, or have they partnership with him in the heavens, or have we given them a book so they are standing on evidence their form? And no, rather the wrongdoers do not promise each other except delusion. And indeed, Allah holds the heavens and the earth, lest they cease. If they should cease, no one could hold them in place. After him, indeed, he is forbearing and forgiving. And they swore by Allah their strongest oath, that if a warner come to them, they would be more guided than any one of the previous nations. But when a warner came to them, it did not increase them except in aversion. And due to arrogance in the land and plotting of evil, but the evil plot does not encompass except its own people, then do they await except the way that is fate of the former people? But you will never find in the way that established method of Allah any change, and you will never find in the way of Allah any alteration. Allah's plans are fixed. Have they not traveled through the land and observed how was the end of those before them? And they were greater than them in power, but Allah is not to be caused failure that is prevented by anything in the heavens or on the earth. Indeed, He is ever-knowing and competent. And if Allah were to impose blame on the people for what they have earned, He would not have left upon it, that is the earth, any creature, but He defers them for a specified term. And when their time comes, then indeed Allah has ever been of His servant seeing, meaning Allah SWT has given us time in here, and Allah SWT will not have any blame upon us. He would not leave upon this earth any creature, but He defers them for a specified term. And when their time comes, then indeed Allah has ever been of His servants seeing. What do we learn in this paragraph? Only Allah can help. Allah knows what's inside my heart. And Allah's words are firm, unchangeable. And His knowledge is complete. It is the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He doesn't catch His people right away. Next surah is Surah Yasin, a beautiful surah. And we will learn only some part of the surah in here, and then we'll continue in the next juz. Surah Yasin, Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim, Wal Quranil Hakim, Innaka laminal mursaleen, Ala siratin mustaqim, تنزيل العزيز الرحيم لتنذر قوما ما أنذر آباؤهم فهم غافلون لقد حق القول على أكثرهم فهم لا يؤمنون ياسين by the wise Quran. In the first 12 ayahs, we learn when there is a discrimination, what happens. By the wise Quran, question, do we understand that this Quran is wise? It is giving us wise commands for our own protection. Indeed, you, O Prophet, are from the messengers on a straight path. Allah sirati mustaqim. O Allah, give us a straight path too. This is a revelation of the exalted in might and the merciful, that you may warn a people whose forefathers were not warned, so they are unaware. Isn't that a blessing that this Quran is in our hand? What if we were born in this era when there was no Quran? Remember the era before the birth of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam. People were lost. So this is a mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that you and I are taking this book in our hands. Let's say thanks to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we are born in an era that the Quran is still in our hands. And if we were to born in the era that would come near the Day of Judgment, the Quran will be not there and it will disappear from the face of this earth. So it is Alhamdulillah, take advantage of this Quran that is in your hand and mine, because there will be time that this Quran will not be there. Already, the word that is decreed has come into an effect upon most of them, so they do not believe. Indeed, we have put shackles on their necks, and they are to their chins, so they are with heads kept aloft. And we have put before them a barrier, and behind them a barrier, and covered them so they do not see. Meaning, they have this blindness around them, they're not able to see. And it is all the same for them whether you warn them or do not warn them. They will not believe. O Allah, keep our eyes visible, open, so we understand this now. We don't want to be from among those who don't, the warning doesn't affect their hearts. They listen. When we invite them, they say, okay, but they don't come. So let's make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala keep us in His right path and straight path. And you can only warn one who follows the message and fears the most merciful unseen. Notice here, what Allah SWT is saying in ayah number 11? You can only warn one who follows the message. Who are the one who follows the message? The one who knows the message. If people don't know the message, how do you think they can follow it? They cannot. This is why it is important to know this message. This message is the salvation, and fear is the most merciful unseen, meaning fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, cry at night, do the hajjud. So give him good tidings of forgiveness and noble reward. What kind of ajr and kareem this must be? This is something for us to imagine and think about. Indeed, it is we who bring the dead to life and record what they have put forth and what they have left behind, and all things we have enumerated in a clear register, meaning nothing is missed. It's not like that one file was deleted by mistake and now we don't have the record, and then the fire came and it burned the file cabinet, now we don't have the record. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying, my records are completed, enumerated, nothing is left behind, nothing is missed, nothing is deleted by mistake, or nothing is added by mistake. This is Allah. So what do we learn in this paragraph? Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was a messenger, a true messenger. We must believe in him. And shaitan is our clear enemy. And believe in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unseen. Believing in ghaib is our part of our iman. If we don't believe in ghaib, then our iman is incomplete. And everything is written. Even the tiniest little thing is written too. So we should be very careful. In the next paragraph, what we learn here is that ayah number 13 to 21. There is no example. In this paragraph, we learn about the story of a person. What is it? Ayah number 13. وَضْرِبْ لَهُمْ مَثَلًا أَصْحَابَ الْقَرْيَةِ إِذْ جَاءَهَا الْمُرْسَلُونَ. And present to them an example. The people of the city, when the messengers came to it. Now, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, do you know why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala shares the examples of the different nations? Because so that we can learn. For them, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's example, sharing the example, a messenger came to them. What happened to them? When we sent to them two, but they did not. For them, there were two messengers at a time. So we strengthened them with a third one. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, okay, if two are not enough, I can send you another one. Three messengers. And they said, indeed, we are messengers to you. They said, you are not but human beings like us. And the Most Merciful has not revealed a thing. You are only telling lies. They said, our Lord knows that we are messengers to you. Imagine, if three messengers are giving a message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, people are still denying it. Today, you and I should consider ourselves so much blessed that we have one messenger of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who brought this Quran to us, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened up our heart to accept it, and we are saying, La ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah. This is such a huge, greatest blessing that one can ever have. And we are not responsible except for clear notification. They said, indeed, we consider you a bad omen. You know why? Because messengers come and they say, do this and don't do this. People don't like it. And if you do not desist, we will surely stone you, and there will surely touch you from us a painful punishment. They said, your omen, meaning your fate, is with yourself. Is it because you were reminded? They're asking, you don't like us because we remind you of the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do's and don'ts? Because this is what the main, major problem people have. People have no issues saying Allah is there. They say, oh my Allah, all the time. You know what the problem is? The problem is sunnah. The problem is Quran. The problem is sharia. Because when the sharia comes, that's when people don't like it. People are happy. You live them the life they want. Yes, they're even happy to pray sometimes, once in a while. But when you attack, when you tell them that this is business way is not right, and that sunnah way is this way, and this is the wrong way, and this is not the way you're supposed to be doing things, that's when the problem. bad deeds are with us all the time. We need to be aware of them and follow the prophets. We should be believing in all prophets and follow the sunnah of Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and take nasiha, advice, because this man came and he was giving advice, and whether people will take it or not, we will understand in the next juz. But when people come to you and I to tell you some advice, instead of attacking them, pointing fingers at them and letting them know that you don't really care, be open, take the advice. Maybe it is a good advice for you. Maybe you didn't know this part. Maybe they're telling you something that is better for you. With that note, inshallah, let's go to the next slide and then I'll say the dua again. The zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Subhanallahi wa bihamdihi, subhanallahi al-azim. May Allah truly make us understand the power of zikr in our life. And the take home message is, in the next slide, what is my next step? I want you to go home and think about it. Whatever I learned today, I may find hard or easy, it doesn't matter. What matters is, what is my next step? Where do I want to see next in my life? Whether I am happy the way I am, whether I am done because now it's almost down and I have already completed 22 juz, whether I want to have more love of Allah in my life, and where do I stand when it comes to love of Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam in my life, and what is it that I want from my life? Because goal setting is part of our iman. From the day one, from the ayah number one, we're learning about the goal setting. ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ. This book and where the guidance lies and who are the successful ones. We have already read that paragraph and now we're on a 22nd step. We have already passed 22 steps of Quran. Only 8 more steps left. So, before this Quran ends from our life, we need to know where do we stand. With that, inshallah, I will end. Subhanaka Allahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaykum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Jazakumullah khairan kaseera wa hasan lillahi sir Faiza. Alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, we completed today's target on time, biznillah. In fact, 2 minutes earlier, subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put loads and loads of barakah in our time, in our upcoming time, inshallah wa ta'ala. And we complete every target with ease and inshallah wa ta'ala on time. Alhamdulillah. We learned in detail a very controversial topic even among Muslim women, right? We learned a clear take by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this respect. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us the Nisa'il Mu'mineen in the real sense. But it will only happen if we accept Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's commandments with the contentment of our hearts. Inshallah wa ta'ala. We need to develop an understanding that whatever commands Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave, it is for our own good. How Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is more loving than 70 mothers collectively, can wish ill for us? A thought. There is no second thought or any doubt in it. So we will, inshallah wa ta'ala, take every commandment as a blessing for us, inshallah wa ta'ala. So let's share any point which impacted your heart from today's session. Let's share the zikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Indeed, it is the right thing to do for the contentment of our heart, alhamdulillah. Ingratitude brings downfall. Mm-hmm. Remember favors of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, 3 types of zikrs, alhamdulillah. Can I question the word commands of Allah ta'ala if you feel hesitant? And we need to make dua to him. Exactly, it is our weakness. You know, it is, if we are unable to fulfill any of the commandment, it is not because it is, we don't understand that, it is not because it is not right. It is because we are weak and we are unable to fulfill that commandment. Believe and prepare for Akhirah. How we can take little steps and not get overwhelmed. I think it's the first thing is just believe that this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means. And take one thing at a time. So then inshallah ta'ala you will not be overwhelmed. We need Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Oh guys, you're going so fast. Take in and absorb. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah. This is what it is. You know, Sister Faiza mentioned in the beginning, it is will be heavy on our hearts, inshallah ta'ala. But you know what? It is because you guys are learning all the whole juz in one take. But when you will be, inshallah ta'ala, learning in depth, then it will be smaller lessons every week or every day. I don't know what kind of pace they will follow. But, you know, it will be a few ayahs at a time. So you can absorb them better. You can understand them better. All the rulings, you can understand them better. The whole background, whole 9 yards, you learn everything about those particular ayahs. So that becomes easy. Easy to understand, easy to implement, inshallah wa ta'ala. And we understand the wisdom behind, inshallah wa ta'ala. Develop stronger relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Shirk is unforgivable. Importance of being grateful in every situation. Subhanallah. So many lessons to learn. And yes, indeed, it was a very controversial subject. Even among Muslim women, many of our Muslim sisters, they just despise the fact that they are told to cover themselves. Inshallah wa ta'ala, inshallah wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put loads of barakah in your intention, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant steadfastness in your opinion and journey. Inshallah wa ta'ala. Saakum la khair. Alhamdulillah. Was there any confusion cleared from on behalf of you guys? Was any clear before starting this juz? Don't be afraid to speak up. Alhamdulillah. Any confusion was cleared, or there was no confusion to begin with, or it is not cleared from this particular topic of hijab? Yes? Maybe? No? Okay, inshallah. We will wait till it is clear. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah, parda was confusing. Okay, now it is not, or it is still there. But inshallah, as you said, you want to join the course. And inshallah, ta'ala, when we will learn all these ayahs in detail among family members. Then again, mahram and non-mahram, you know, comes in picture. But inshallah, you will learn. This take one step at a time, right? Son-in-law is your mahram too. Okay, so you will follow the necessary requirements of hijab in front of your son-in-law. Alhamdulillah, Rabbillah, everything is according to ilm of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yeah, let's refrain from these kind of questions, because it is not a question an answer session, and as I'm a student like you too, so inshallah we'll keep when we start our in-depth study of Quran, inshallah, for our teacher, bismillah, and in your effort to learn Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's deen, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you all beneficial knowledge. Ameen, summa ameen. Let's pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that may we follow the mothers of the believers as they are made models for us by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ya Allah, help us follow all the commandments you want us to follow. Ya Allah, make us accept them with the contentment of our hearts. Ya Allah, please make us content with you and make us implement all the... Ya Allah, we are asking maghfirah blessed month. Ya Allah, help us guide... Help us guide to be your slave. Ya Allah, help us guide us to worship you in the best manner, like a Muhsin. Ya Allah, we know you do not need our worship, but Ya Allah, we need to be close with you through your worship. Ya Allah, please accept from us and reward us a life and end of Iman. Ya Allah, please hide our sins, our shortcomings in this world and in Akhirah. Ya Allah, please grant us opportunity to do our Islah. Ya Allah, grant us a giving hand to the people and receiving hand for you only. Ya Allah, we want only you to be enough for us forever. Ameen summa ameen. Allahumma a'ini ala zikrika wa shukrika wa husni ibadatik. Allahumma innaka afuwwun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu 'anna fa'fu 'anna fa'fu 'anna. Allahumma inni a'udhu bika an ushrika bika wa ana a'lamu wa astaghfiruka lima la a'lamu. Rabbi irhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. Rabbi irhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. Rabbi irhamhuma kama rabbayani saghira. ربنا اصرف عنا عذاب جهنم إن عذابها كان غراما إنها ساءت مستقرا ومقاما ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما ربنا هب لنا من لدنك رحمة وهيئ لنا من أمرنا رشدا آمين ثم آمين. If life and health, we will begin inshallah tomorrow in Journey to the Quran with Juz 23rd. Inshallah wa ta'ala, take good care of yourself. Amin. Amin. لا إله إلا